One of the only things I love more than the Chicago Cubs is the black-capped chickadee. Saturday, the Cubs and the chickadees conspired to bring me some magical karma when I led a bird walk for Hawk Ridge Bird Observatory along Duluth's Western Waterfront Trail. It was warm for early March. It didn't freeze the night before and was already almost 40 when I left home in the morning, and so I decided to wear my Chicago Cubs cap. While our group was gathering in the parking lot, we saw geese, crows, and chickadees, and then we started on the trail. We'd only gone a very short way when we stopped to watch the chickadees again. They were all about chickadee-dee-deeing at us, so I explained how helpful chickadees are for us birders when cool migrants are passing through. Warblers and vireos gravitate to chickadee flocks when they find themselves in unfamiliar areas. Chickadees welcome any birds that are not predators into their flocks, and chickadees know where all the best food sources and all the dangers may be. Anyway, as I blathered on, it suddenly occurred to me that as cooperative as chickadees usually are when I lead field trips, these chickadees were sticking around much longer than they usually do and were doing a lot of chickadee-dee-deeing. And those chickadee-dee-dee calls had more D notes than usual. So as I talked, I started scanning the branches of the nearby shrubs, and what to my wondering I should appear but a miniature owl right there before us. The northern saw-whet owl is the littlest owl in the Midwest. The tiny male weighs only about 2.5 ounces, less than the smallest American kestrel or sharp-shinned hawk, and barely more than a smallish northern shrike. Larger shrikes, robins, and blue jays can outweigh even healthy male saw-whets. Being so tiny, saw-whet owls are quite vulnerable to predation. By night, they're ever alert as they hunt or call, and by day, they usually hide in a tree cavity. If they can't find a cavity, they usually roost in the thick branches of a conifer. It's exceptional to find one in bare deciduous branches, though their cryptic colors and tiny size do afford some protection. Chickadees and other birds go ballistic when they see the yellow eyes of any owl or cat, and owls can see perfectly well when their eyes are open just a slit. When we got there, the chickadees were not dive-bombing it or even gathering in the same shrubs with it, but even as it kept its little face toward us, it kept its eyes mostly closed, appearing to be asleep. Eventually, the chickadees wandered off, and we moved on to give the little owl some rest. Just in case, we stopped back on the way back to our cars 2.5 hours later, and the owl was still in the exact same place. It wasn't until I was home and looking through my photos that I realized why it was sitting so tight and hadn't retreated to a denser tree. It was holding in its talons a mouse, or at least the back half of one. It didn't want to risk dropping its meal if it could just stick it out for the rest of the day. I presume it had had good luck the night before, and that this was the second or even third mouse of the night. Once an owl's stomach is full, it doesn't swallow anything more until it's formed and spit out a pellet. This is precisely the season for northern saw-whet owls to be migrating. If you're out in the middle of the night when there's very little wind, you might hear one calling, but picking one out in the daytime requires luck. That's where my Cubs hat entered the picture. It can hardly be a coincidence that the first time I ever wore a Cubs cap to lead a bird walk happened to be the very first time I ever spotted a saw-whet owl for my group on a bird walk. And of course, I'd never have been scanning all those branches in the first place had it not been for the chickadees. After all, that bold letter C on my cap stands for both Chicago Cubs and chickadees. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.